Good afternoon. So I'm going to share a few things that are a little bit summary of what we've talked about these few days from John. And what we're doing, we're just kind of meandering through John. I'm not trying to do like Bible study, really, just hanging out with the Lord and letting him speak to me. Because he told me the other day, personally, that he wanted me to spend time in John from the beginning to end, because he wanted to reveal the love of God to me in the Gospel of John. Well, in the process of doing that, he also reveals God to you, right? Because God is love. And so I'm already blown away. And so the first part of John, the first 14 verses particularly, and really through verse 18, he's like hammering down the idea of the incarnation, because the incarnation is so significant. And it says so many things to us that are profoundly wrecking your life kind of thing about God's intentions for you, God's love for you. Because one of the things I've discovered is when you begin to understand God's ways, then you have a real vision of who he is. You with me? And so it says in the psalm that, oh, Israel saw God's acts, and charismatics love to see God's acts. I do too, right? But Moses understood his ways. Wouldn't it be neat to know both of those things? To know his ways so that we would comprehend better and anticipate better and steward better his acts, actually. All righty. So I'm just going to read some verses again. And there's like three things I want to point out. So again, what he's doing, so may God speak this in your heart. May he hammer down how big this is. And like there's this big statement he makes at the beginning of John, and then everything else kind of folds out of that. And the big statement is this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. There's a place in Colossians chapter 1 where it says in verse 15, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and in him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created in him and for him. Now that's a mystery to me. Like, all these things were created in him. That's why it says in Ephesians 1 that in the end, everything's going to be summed back up in Christ. So it's important that you understand, first he says, Jesus is God. Now we know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus is one of the persons of the Godhead. So Jesus is God. And Jesus was the agency through which God created everything, including everything about you and me. Okay? That seems so simple, but you're going to see how important that is as we kind of get here and see some things. Because I want the Lord to blow your doors off at how significant you are to him, how much love he has for you, and how much love was in his heart in creating you. And therefore, from the moment you were created, nothing could keep him from restoring you, no matter what would happen. That's why Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. In God's heart, we were saved before we ever fell, because he wasn't going to live with that. He wasn't going to settle for that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. Then he talks about John. And then in verse 9, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Now the verse 4 and verse 9 are very similar. In him, Jesus, was life, and life was the light of men. Verse 9, there was the true light, which is Jesus, which coming into the world, by his coming into the world, he enlightens every man. Again, what is he saying? That Jesus, in him is life, and his life is the light of men. Now, he talks about Jesus, the incarnate Christ. God came into the world. He clothed himself in humanity. He was God, very God. This is not new to you. He never stopped being God, but Philippians 2 makes it really clear that he laid down his right to live as God, and he lived as the second Adam, because the first Adam missed it. And so the second Adam came to restore the sons and daughters of Adam. So when it said in him was life, you want to get a picture of what your life is supposed to look like? It's in Jesus, this incarnate Christ. As second Adam, the incarnation, Jesus came to clothe himself in our humanity, to redeem our humanity, but he also came, as if this is how much God loves you. So also came as if the Godhead said, look, they got it wrong so bad. There's only one way for them to understand how to get it right. We got to become one of them and show them how to get it right. Now think about it. In him, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I talked about durative and perfect verbs on Monday. Durative and perfect. He always is, always was, is, always will be, is. He's always been God. He's never not been God. He was in the beginning with God, and yet he said, I love you so much. I'm going to step out of eternity. I'm going to become like one of you, be born of a woman under the law, clothed in your sinful flesh to show you what life is supposed to look like, to show you what normal humanity looks like. Jesus came as our blueprint. Hear that word. Jesus came as our blueprint. Verse 9, there was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. So we can honestly say, you want to know, talk to somebody who's searching for life, who's changing their gender every other week because they're just trying to find purpose and meaning, identity. We can say, you want to know what life looks like, real life? What normal humanity looks like as God intended, go read about Jesus. Because again, we've said this 1,000 times, he's not just an example for us. He's an example of us. His life is the light of men. Men, people are walking around in darkness, trying to find some light, make life make sense. How many people do you guys know? How many young people do you know that are confused and trying to find purpose and meaning? In him is light. Life, and his life is the light of men. Coming into the world by his incarnation, he enlightens every human being. Amen. We're not trying to make people religious. We're just trying to get them normal from God's perspective. I just think that's stunning, that God loves you so much that he stepped out of eternity to redeem you, to clothe himself in your humanity so he could take you in his person to the cross, crucify the old man, raise you up a new creation in him. But even not just that, he stepped out of eternity so that he could show you, as the author and perfecter of faith, how the first Adam, and therefore how we're supposed to live. He came to be an example, the blueprint for us. Who does something like that? That's why the opening statement is like this huge drum roll, like the end of a movie. The crescendo starts at the end. He's God, he's always been God. Oh, and he became one you, so that you would know how to live. So you would look what normal looks like. So that you would know it's possible for you. Oh, and by the way, he's going to take care of the old you and be one with you so that in union with you, this can happen. But he wants to show you what it looks like. What a spirit-filled man or woman looks like. Wow. I just think that's mind-blowing. It is phenomenal. Verse 11. He came to his own. The word is he came in his own. And I mentioned this yesterday. The word own here literally is the word uniquely his. And I quoted this verse. So you have to bear with me because I'm about to quote it again. Let me mark my page in this foreign Bible. For those who've been around here a while, this is familiar. Song of Solomon chapter 2. Oh, my dove, that's his language for us. In the cleft of the rock, who's the rock? Jesus. In the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of this deep pathway, your life is hidden with Christ and God. So, in that place of being in Christ, of abiding in him, of allowing the light, the life of Christ to be your life, let me see your presence. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your presence is lovely. And we mentioned yesterday that the word lovely is a Hebrew word that means perfect fit. We're a perfect fit for him. So when he says he came into his own, uniquely his, remember what he said back earlier? This is the big crescendo at the beginning. So it's important to get the sequence here. In the beginning was the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being in him. No thing came into being apart from him. Jesus created you particularly, specifically, as a perfect fit for him. There's an expression of who God is that only you can give in union with Christ. Do you understand what he's saying here? He said, I created you to uniquely contain my life. I created you, and therefore I've come to model you what does it look like for a God-filled person to live on this earth. So that you'd catch a vision, you'd be enlightened with, oh my God, I don't have to settle for what I've settled for. I can experience that in any setting. Yes. And you're uniquely created by him with that dream in mind from the beginning. But as many as received him, then he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This is not about your blood lineage as to whether you are a wanted or unwanted child. This is about your God-begottenness. You hear this? This is about his dream coming true, not the invention of your parents. You get this? What's truth most about you is not your invention of your parents. It's irrelevant whether you were wanted or unwanted or a mistake or on purpose or whatever. You were created by him to be a perfect fit for him. And when you're living that life, your voice is so sweet to him. Your presence is so lovely to him. Because again, you died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. That's got nothing to do with what you've done, where you've been, what you've been told about yourself. God is telling you the truth about you. Jesus Christ said he came into the world enlightening men, telling them the truth about them. The life of Christ is the truth about you. You are God's dream. Now hear me. And you are the best idea God ever had.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the gospel. You don't have to work on a self-image issue. You with me? Listen, so I don't care if I have 4 hairs on top of my head or 4,000 hairs on top of my head. My identity is not in that nonsense, because you know what happens? All that stuff changes. It's like laying up your treasures on the earth and it kind of goes away. But let me just say this to you. I'm his ride and I'm perfect fit for him. I'm his dream. Not just me, but me in union with him. That was the dream. I'd be grafted into his life. He created me for that purpose. Not born of man or by blood or by the will of man, but by the will of God. God in grace created you to be who you are. And it doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what people have said about you or what you've said about yourself. What's true, what matters, is who you are in him. And you're his perfect fit. You were created by him, and he came to show you this is how your life can work. Because I'm in union with the Father by the Spirit, I'm showing you what it looks like, and when you accept me, you get to, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You get to live out God's dream that you would participate in his life in Christ, enjoying all that he is, all that he has, and that's all by the will of God, the best idea God ever had. Isn't that cool? So, that's the Gospel of John. Started off. Amen? So you got to get there. You got to get your mind blown. He was God, and he came into the world to enlighten me as to what real life looks like. Whew. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.